This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Juliet Jacobs and Shamila Gunnison. Before the break, we revisited the Indira Gandhi case. And remember, if you have any information about the whereabouts of Muhammad Ridwan Abdullah or Indira's daughter, Prasanna, you can contact the Bukit Aman CID or the Ingat team, which can be contacted at 012-6755-327 or 016-711-4252. Meanwhile, on our Twitter poll, which is related to our second story.
Yes, we are asking you on Twitter, is it important to design products with different gender needs in mind? So far, we have yes leading the pack, with 60% of you saying yes, gender needs do need to be considered when designing products. 24% of you say it doesn't matter, and 16% of you say no. So I'm kind of hoping that our next story will change some of your minds. But if you do want to join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also call us at 773-2900.
And yeah, the reason we're talking about this?
Yes. So when it comes to design, and, you know, I use that term sort of very broadly, you know, where we're talking about products, places, systems. Now, you know, the design of these things are often created with the average person in mind. And historically, that average person has always been a man, usually a white man. So essentially, we largely live in a world that's designed with men in mind. Now, this might create minor difficulties in many ways for those of us who aren't white men. But in some cases, it can actually end up being life-threatening.
Yes, so it was a recent article in The Guardian that brought some of these to light. The article points out some examples like the fact that car safety tests often don't account for women's body measurements, or that police body armour is designed for male bodies and therefore end up being ill-fitting on female police officers.
Yeah, and this absence of enough data to make designs that suit the needs of women, it's often referred to as the gender data gap. And it is something that we see repeated, you know, across the board in all sorts of design design decisions, whether it's building design, product design, workplace systems, or even technology.
Right.
So why does this happen, especially when women are now a significant part of the world's workforce and consumer base? Here's an excerpt from a talk given in 2017 by Anat Katz Arochas, I think, who is an expert in gendered product innovation, where she talks about taking a gender-inclusive approach.
This brings us to the reasons why we should look at our product from a gender-inclusive perspective. So first, it's about ethics. I believe that we as designers are in a unique position to influence the society that we live in through the products that we create, to make a society that we actually want to live in and that is based on the values that we believe in. But beyond that, as professionals, it's our job to create successful products that our user would like and that would be financially successful in the market. And I'd like to tap into the business potential of the female market. Different researchers show that women control about 80% of the consumer market. Now, this market is estimated to be $20 trillion annually. So it's a huge market, bigger than all the emerging economies. And still, many companies fail to fully realize this potential. And many tech products unintentionally are developed with a bias towards the needs and motivations of men, and particularly white men. But the question is, why is it so? Why are product biased? And the main reason is that we all have gender blind spots, and we are all unconsciously biased when it comes to genders, but also when it comes to other inclusive aspects. We are all born into a society that is already gendered, when we have quite clear definitions of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, what it means to be otherwise, what roles are made by women, certain gendered structured in our society. And since we grow up into it, we just fail to see it. We don't see it anymore. It's like a fish. swimming in dirty waters, they don't see that the water are dirty. And this is especially true in an industry like ours, where only 26% of the industry, of the computing jobs, are held by women. And these numbers go even lower as you go up in seniority. And the practical meaning of this is that many and most product decisions are actually made by men. The way to overcome these biases is by a structured and conscious action that we need to take. Now, what do I mean by a conscious action? So, first of all, we need to understand that gender is not a black and white thing, right? I'm sure you understand that. It's actually a continuum or a spectrum. But the fact is that today, unintentionally, we tend to focus on the male side of this diagram. And since we do that, we miss out of a huge population of our users' needs. So taking a conscious action actually means taking a conscious step and looking at the female side of this equation. And by doing so, not only do we open our minds to new innovative ideas, but we also build the growth of our product to the whole population. Okay, so we're biased. We need to take a conscious action. How do we do that? In essence, what you need to build is your ability to have a gender-inclusive mindset, which is a gradual process. And I recommend a two-phased approach. The first one is to do the basics. Identify all those quick wins in your product that you can leave this conference today, look at your product, and apply. And the next step is to do it properly, to really implement a gender-inclusive mindset throughout your design and development process and build truly inclusive products.
So as Anat Katz Arocha says, this is actually a real blind spot. And often we don't even think about how far it extends. And because, as she pointed out, a lot of these systems still, especially the people at the top, are designed by men, it's a blind spot that almost never gets addressed because there are never people in the room who even point out this blind spot to them, right? So think about, you know, car parks that don't account for women's safety. And we've done a show before on how public toilets aren't usually designed to accommodate the longer times it takes for women to use them. And then there's the fact that the standard office temperature was developed around the metabolic resting rate of a man. But studies have shown that young women have significantly lower metabolic rates. And so often a standard office temperature can actually be up to 5 degrees too cold for them.
I think all of us
wrapped in shawls.
And these physiological differences, when not accounted for, can have wide-ranging effects on the health and safety of women. For example, in the UK, the rate of serious injuries at work has been decreasing for men, but there's evidence that they've been increasing for women. And it's suspected that this is because occupational research tends to focus on male-dominated industries. So in construction, for instance, a study done in the US of carpenters found that women had higher rates of sprains, strains, and nerve conditions of the wrist and forearm. Now, there's not enough data to pinpoint exactly why, but the New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health thinks that it's partly because standard construction site equipment is designed for the male body. So they say that the standard hand tools tend to be too large for women's hands to grip tightly.
Right.
Yeah, and in some cases, you know, overlooking these different needs can seriously affect safety. Personal protective equipment for the workplace, things like goggles and safety vests to, you know, full body suits, they're usually based on the sizes of men. And when providing them to women, companies might opt for smaller sizes, but this doesn't always work because, you know, differences in chests, hips, thighs, for instance, can affect how these equipment fit. And the Guardian article points out a Trades Union Congress report from the UK where 95% of female emergency services workers said that their gear hampered their work. And this includes vital gear like, you know, body armor and even stab vests. Yeah. And the article goes on to talk about how female officers who have been stabbed and killed because they removed ill-fitting body armor, and there's also officers complaining that there's no space for their breasts in the gear, and many who have had to have, physiotherapy because of the way the stab vests fit their bodies.
Yeah. Right. And
who would have thought? I guess not many people think that breasts take up space in clothes.
But they're all different sizes. One size fits all. Yeah.
Well, I imagine men think about these things, but in a different context.
In a very different context, yes. And we shan't go there.
Yes. So, if you think the average woman who doesn't work in these industries doesn't have cause to worry, well, okay, let's talk about car safety design, which affects all of us. Mm. Research shows that when a woman is in a car crash, she is 47% more likely to be seriously injured and 17% more likely to die. And this is because of who the car is designed for. Yeah. So women tend to sit further forward because we are on average shorter than men. And this means we don't fit the norm that safety tests are designed around. And cars have been designed using those crash test dummies, you see. Mm. And those are based on the average male dimensions.
Right. While not all effects have to be this severe, right? Not life and death. Mm-hmm. Many design decisions exclude women or make it more difficult for them to just operate on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Take the tech that we use, right? It's so ubiquitous in our lives. Mm-hmm. In 2018, when Apple launched its iPhone XS, there were many complaints from women. I also remember a lot of cries from the opposite side calling this feminist rantings and, oh, now you want us to make your phones. But, it's actually a practical concern because screen size of the XS ranged from 5.8 inches to 6.5 inches, which means that the average woman's hand is barely bigger than the phone. Mm. And ironically, research shows that more women are likely to own an iPhone. I think the problem was also that with the iPhone, once the tech sort of phases out, you're forced to upgrade to the other model. Yep, yep. And there was no other option that was smaller than this size.
Yes. And to go smaller would be to downgrade.
Yes, right. And or you want to keep using your older model until, I guess, it dies on you.
I've got Android, right?
Android also average screen size 5.5.
I know some of those phones are huge.
Yeah. Even voice recognition software is male-centric. 2016 research by the University of Washington found that Google's speech recognition software was 70% more likely to accurately recognize male speech. One study of fitness monitors found that they underestimated the steps that we take during housework by up to 74%, which means walking around at home doing housework, the estimation sort of estimated number of steps could be less by 75%, 74%. That's a huge gap in the exercise that you would have on a daily basis. Mm. And then, there are all sorts of things when it just comes to tech, right? There are health apps that don't bother to include period trackers, map apps that don't provide routes that are based on safety, smartwatches that don't really fit women's wrists. Yeah. Okay. And women are a significant consumer base.
Wonder why. So to get an idea of how far this actually factors into the design industry, let's turn to someone who currently works in it. We spoke earlier to Sumi Aparao, who is a senior technical manager with the product team for Tom Dixon, which is an industrial design and manufacturing company in London. We asked her, is the gender data gap an actual problem when it comes to the design of products?
It's not a problem for all products, but certainly where products need to fit the human body or be handled in some way, this is something that should be factored into the design.
And from your observation, what are some of the issues that come up when design doesn't take into account the differences in gender?
Safety, of course, is the primary issue, but also usability and functionality in the design would be reduced by not accounting for these physical differences.
Are designers, of products or spaces, all these sorts of things, are they taking the differences between men and women into account now? And if so, how?
In my opinion, yes. By using ergonomic standards and anthropomorphic data, which are now more widely available. However, it's still a challenge. For example, unless the product is adjustable, it's going to be difficult to design it to account for a wide variety of sizes.
So how can we create a more equal approach to design when it comes to gender?
I think we have to think about how the design might affect or be used by men and women differently, for instance, right at the start of the design process. I think that's the key. And by deliberately designing for adjustability or flexibility where possible.
That was Sumi Aparao, who works with Tom Dixon in London. She is, which is an industrial design and manufacturing firm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of the natural, not natural, but some of the common reactions towards these discussions is that, is this all a big deal about nothing? Like, is this really something we need to worry about? Are we just finding problems where there are no problems?
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering whether you guys have, you know, faced some of these issues. Have you ever felt like you're just not able to work something, or some design just doesn't fit? I mean, toilets, I think, is an obvious, obvious
safety
experience.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, safety for me is another one, right?
Yeah.
Where I always feel like car parks, for instance, or even elevators, aren't really designed with 50% of their users in mind.
Well, anyone's safety in mind, actually. But also the car parks, I think, and I think a lot more people are seeing that, you know, especially after cases, sadly though, after cases of abductions or robberies in the car parks, only then people start to, you know, shopping malls start to designate places for the women to park, you know, closer to the entrance, for example, and things like that. But it needed a tragedy before those things actually
I
came
also
into
have
place.
A bone to pick with some of those, because I think they're tokenistic in the way they're designed.
Sure.
A lot of the women only spaces are right next to your general spaces, so what difference does it make?
I've been in malls where the women only spaces are actually further away from the elevator entrance than the general spots, and you kind of have to park at one corner and then walk by yourself. So I'm not really sure how that would serve anyone. So again, it's very tokenistic, and I feel like it's not really a decision made with enough women participating in the process.
It's tokenistic, as you said, like look at us, we're doing this, you're safe, so come to our mall.
I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to who's in the room when something is being planned and something's being designed, whose input is going into it. And if we're still going by the traditional structures of a lot of industries and professions, we're still being left out.
Yeah. And I think as Anat Katz said in her talk, one thing that's actually changed and hasn't been acknowledged enough is how significant women are as a market.
Yeah.
So even from a business perspective, you know, if you want to be sort of cold about it and just look at dollars and cents, it makes sense to design things that work for, appeal to both men and women and fulfill a variety of needs, right? Not just, I, for instance, would never buy an XS because I actually do find it too large for my hands. I can't text with one hand on one of those huge phones.
And my gripe with a lot of products that are then targeted at women is that it's all just about aesthetics.
Yes, it'll be pink or it'll have flowers.
Yes, which... No need, okay?
Was it those pens?
Pens.
That Ellen DeGeneres made fun of on her show.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a ballpoint pen, but it's pink. And so
therefore,
it's a pen for women. Which
can't hear me rolling my eyes, but I am.
I can almost hear it. That's how. Because who needs those, right? Those are tokenistic changes. Mm. They're not changes that are significant. What I could use is actually them counting my steps as I do housework.
Everyone needs that. But also, like, you know, I mean, that whole aspect of safety, you know, I mean, police officers who got stabbed.
Yes.
I mean, how could you not take that into account?
I have to admit, I actually didn't think of that until I read the Guardian article.
Yeah.
The fact that this equipment and these things like safety vests, you know, they're supposed to fit over your entire body so that you are protected.
Yeah.
And even if it's uncomfortable, or can you imagine wearing a safety vest and then having to go through physiotherapy because you wore it? And these are people who put their lives on the line for us, right?
Yeah. I think even if you go diving or if you go snorkeling, for example, and they do give you those safety jackets, those life vests, it's always uncomfortable for the shorter individuals like myself.
The individuals who are more ample as well.
Yes.
I always feel like they're either going to slip off or they're uncomfortably tight, and I'd rather not have one on.
Yeah, and that, of course, is dangerous.
So, I mean, very quickly though, do you think it's practical for designers to take into account these wide variations?
That is something that I have wondered, right? Because Sumi also mentioned that it is difficult to account for everyone's needs.
Yeah.
But I think if, okay, again, I'm going back to that whole, if it's 50% of your consumer base, is that not worth putting consideration into, right? Or 50% of your workforce?
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe at a time, at one time, women didn't work in construction.
Yeah. But and I think having more women in the room, hiring more women, you know, will give you that different perspective and help you to come up with a solution.
Right, and identify the
Those blind spots.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
So we are asking you on Twitter what you think about this issue, and we're asking, is it important to design products with different gender needs in mind? And, you know, 56% of you say yes. So yeah, that's encouraging, and we hope that the people who make these decisions are listening. 31% of you say it doesn't matter, and 13% of you say no. We do have one person who's tweeted us. Lian Jim says, Seeking.com took it to the next level. The site behaves, this is a dating site. The site behaves differently between male and female, with different pricing, different features, and limitations. Guys need to get premium accounts to message girls. And then girls need premium accounts to see guys' salaries. Now, I'm not quite sure if this is the direction we want to lean in.
No, not quite.
But that said, I think some of these things, like, you know, dating apps or whatever, they do have algorithms in place that I think work differently for men and women because of the different ways in which men, for women's safety, for one. So you can't randomly be messaged by people if you don't want to be harassed. So it, I think, you know, it makes sense on some level. Serves a certain need, I suppose.
Anyway, you can keep the conversation going. You can still tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-788-789-8899, or drop us a line on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3pm on Live and Learn, Juliet Jacobs will be talking about the Chin Up Project, an initiative involving ethnic chin refugees. I like the play on words there. Stay tuned for that. But to take us out now is Chaka Khan with I'm Every Woman. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.